Well, folks, it's great to be with you again, you know. I've missed you. And thanks for having me. And thanks, too, for giving me a wonderful subject to talk about today. Faithfulness. Gorgeous. It's a beautiful, beautiful passage, isn't it, about the fruit of the Spirit. One of my favourite, I think it's my favourite of Paul's letters, the letter to the Galatians. Absolutely amazing letter about the grace of God. And I love this passage about the fruit. Now let's just do a bit of quick word association, shall we? When I say fruit, let's just start with thinking about fruit. There we go. When I say fruit, what words come into your mind? Shout them out. Pardon? Orange. Salad. Fruit salad, orange, yes. Juice. Ooh, nice. Apples, yes. Okay, we could do this a lot. We could think of all sorts of different fruits. I'm thinking of fruit as a whole. Fruity, yes. Healthy, yes. Sweet, beautiful. Yes, it's healthy, it's natural, it's good for you, it's fruit, isn't it? And the fruit is the natural outcrop, isn't it, of the plant. It just sort of grows out of the DNA of the plant or the tree itself, right? Jesus told a parable, didn't he? He said, you know, the farmer sows the seed and all by itself the soil produces corn. First the stalk and then the ear and then the full grain in the ear and then it's ripe and he puts the sickle to it because it grows all by itself. He doesn't know how. And fruit grows like that. Did you ever walk through an orchard and hear the trees going, is that, what are you doing? Oh, we're trying to produce fruit. Oh, it's so difficult. They don't do that, do they? You ever walk through an orchard with a farmer and he's saying, now come on, guys, come on. They don't do that, do they? Because the fruit grows. It just grows naturally. All you have to do is let them be what they really are. And the fruit of the Spirit is the natural outcrop of the presence of Jesus Christ within a human life. When we accept Jesus, he lives within us, and he lives within us by his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is just the same person as Jesus. They're just the same character. And as he lives within us, he produces this fruit, this character. That's the first thing. The second is, this isn't nine fruits. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. It's one fruit, but with nine flavors. What an interesting idea. And today's flavor is the flavor of faithfulness. So what are we talking about? We're talking about steady reliability. That's a nice way of putting it. About sticking to a commitment. About sometimes just hanging on in there. That's what faithfulness says to me. And I tell you what, there are people in life and in churches who say, yeah, well, I'll do it if I can. And there are people who, when they say, I'll be there, they're there. They make a promise and they stick to it. And they're reliable. And they're so nice to have around, aren't they? My first church was in Chipping Campden in the Cotswolds, would you believe it? And it had been in a pastoral vacancy of about 8 years when I finally got there. And they'd had a disaster. It had just all gone like that. And the church was right down on its uppers. There was about four old ladies, basically. And one of them was the oldest resident in the village. She was about 98 when I got there. And they said, well, maybe we should close. And she said, over my dead body. They said, well, what can we do? They said, we can pray. That's what we can do. These four faithful old ladies and a few others, you know, they weren't just four. They just prayed. And along with their prayer, they said, we can't pray, Lord, make it like it was in the 1950s when we were young and it was all great. They said, we know it's got to change. And they let go of their own stuff. And they said, Lord, bring new people in and we will just support them and be there. And those dear old folk, they just saw it through. They were faithful. And that church started to grow and thrive and live because they were faithful. One of my favorite stories. I love those. They've all gone to glory now. But they're beautiful, beautiful old people. No, look at them, you'd say, no one special. But you don't have to be someone like that. We need to be faithful. As I thought about this, though, I thought, I've got the pattern for my sermon here. I can look up a few things about, you know, sticking to it. A good old Churchillian thing. Never give up, never give up, never, 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 never give up. And that's a true thing. Look at this thing on the left. It says, good things come to those who believe, better things come to those who are patient, and the best things come to those who don't give up. True? Yeah, of course that's true. That's a big part of faithfulness. But then I started thinking a bit wider about it, and I thought, there are times in life when this one on the right is more true. How many times do you have to run into the same wall before you remember it's there, it always has been, it always will be? You need to change your course. So sometimes there's times when you need to say, we're not giving up, we're staying. And there's other times when we need to say, it's pointless banging my head against a brick wall and saying, God, please take away the headache. Both of these are true, aren't they? It says in Ecclesiastes, there's a right time to search and another to count your losses. There's a right time to hold on and another to let go. And I look back at that word faithfulness. Do you see what's in the middle of it? Faith. In fact, this is the only Greek thing I'm going to do. In the Greek New Testament, the word for faith and the word for faithfulness are the same word. It's about faith. But what is God saying? Sometimes we give up because we don't believe that God will help us through. And sometimes we cling on to things because we can't bear the idea of the void that will be, the upset that will happen if we dare to let go and try something new. When we moved here just under 10 years ago, it was a real step into the void. I didn't know what I was doing, like I do now. And it was frightening and scary, but God had said, no, I want you to, you've been doing this for 21 years of your life. You know what to do in a regular pastoral visit. I want you to do something. It's time to stop. Do something else. And I'll be with you. So I had to let go and do something else. Both of these are true. Stick to it. Let go. And the key to knowing the difference is faith. What is God saying? What can I see? What is God showing me? How much do I trust him? Faith. Well, let's think. How do we grow this fruit? That's what I should be asking. How do we grow this? Wrong question. How do we go? No, we don't go about growing this fruit. The fruit is the natural outcrop of the presence of Jesus in our hearts, right? We don't grow it. Jesus grows it. How do we cooperate with him? How do we work with him to develop it? Is a better thing. And I think the first thing we need to do is see. Seeing comes first. I love the fact that the Bible is so much story. Now, probably some of you will be aware of this new project I started last year, but I started it for a couple of years, of performing Mark's Gospel. And so for the immediately, when Liz said the topic is faithfulness, I thought of this passage. So if it's okay with you, I'm actually going to do a little bit of what I do when I do Mark's Gospel. And this is the bit just after the Last Supper. Remember, they've had the Last Supper. Jesus has already said, one of you will betray me, one who is sitting with me and eating with me. And then it says, when they'd sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. You'll all fall away, Jesus said, because it's written, I'll strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I've risen, I'll go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter declared, even if they all fall away, I won't. And Jesus said, I'll tell you the truth today. Yes, tonight, before the cock crows twice, you yourself will have disowned me three times. But Peter declared emphatically, even if I have to die with you, I'll never disown you. And they all said the same. And they came to a place called Gethsemane. And Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I go and pray. He took Peter, James, and John with him. And he began to become deeply distressed and troubled. He said, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow, even to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Then going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, everything's possible to you. Please, take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. Then he returned and found them sleeping. Simon, he said, are you asleep? Couldn't you watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you don't enter into temptation. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Once again, he went away and prayed the same thing. And when he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy and they just didn't know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Luke, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Come on, get up. Let's go. See, here comes my betrayer. And as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared. And with him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests and teachers of the law and the elders. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. He said, the man that I kiss is the one. Arrest him and lead him away under guard. Going straight to Jesus, Judas said, Rabbi, and kissed him. Then the men seized Jesus and arrested him. One of those standing near drew his sword and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said, am I leading some rebellion that you come out armed with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you in the temple teaching and you didn't arrest me. but the scripture must be fulfilled. Then they all deserted him and fled. A young man wearing nothing but a linen robe was following Jesus. And when they seized him, he ran away naked. It's a dramatic passage, isn't it? Such a... Whenever I have to perform that, nearly always, as I'm sort of in between Act 1 and Act 2, I say, Lord, help me with Gethsemane. Help me with that one. Help me just to get into it. It's a hypercharged emotional scene. And in it we see such a dramatic contrast, don't we? Between faithfulness personified in Jesus and frailty personified by the disciples. Should I just move that away a bit? Is that better? Yeah, that's better. It keeps rustling, doesn't it? So let's think about that. What do we see in Jesus? What does faithfulness look like in Jesus? I want you just to imagine the pressure that was on him at this point. Just try and get into it. Imagine that tomorrow morning you were going to be crucified. Just imagine that. That's horrific enough, isn't it? And imagine that every support, every comfort, every human, and even eventually the divine support of your Heavenly Father was going to be taken from you as you took the sins of the world upon your shoulders. That's horror, isn't it? No wonder he collapsed and prayed and begged that it might go. And yet he said, not my will, but yours be done. Because he had a calling. He had a calling, didn't he? And he was faithful to it. He went to the cross in faith. Jesus went to the cross in faith that by doing this, resurrection would happen and infinite good would come of it. He trusted. He believed. He says, I've got to stick with it and go with it and see it through. Faithfulness. And the other side of faithfulness I see is Jesus with his friends. How let down must he have felt? Do you think? Imagine that you were told you had a terminal illness and then everybody who knew you and everybody who loved you was going to drop you like a stone. It's terrible, isn't it? This Mark is the passion in Mark is the stripping away from Jesus of every single human and divine comfort and support till he dies utterly, utterly alone, forsaken. That's the flavor of the passion in Mark. And yet these guys, I mean, if we had time, we'd go on and we could have done Peter denying the Lord three times as well. He knew, and yet he's always encouraging. He says, when I've risen, I'll go ahead of you into Galilee. One of my favorite verse, I think, in the whole of Mark is when the angel says to the women, now you go and tell the disciples and Peter, I'm going ahead of you. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you'll meet him, just as he promised. You tell the disciples, and you make sure you tell that Peter that he is included. I love that, don't you? I bet you that poor bloke had written himself off completely as an utter failure. What a disgrace. And you said, no, you tell Peter, I'm going to meet him. This is the faithfulness of Jesus to his friends, to those he loves. This is what he is like. And this is the character of the fruit of faithfulness that Jesus will grow in us as we allow him space to grow it. Amen?
What do we see in Jesus? He's sticking to God's call, even when it means pushing through resistance, and not giving up on those you love, even when they let you down. Well, what do we see in the disciples? They don't come out very well out of this, do they? But they are us, aren't they? So what do our temptations look like? Here's the first thing, the body overruling the heart. Oh, I so identify with them falling asleep. That would have been me 100, 1,000 times over. I'm rubbish at staying awake. I'd have been, they didn't know what to say to him because their eyes were heavy. That would have been me, absolutely. The body ruling over the heart. Reactions overruling faith. Jesus has just said, look, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. And here they come. And they go, oh, what's going on? What's going on? Quick, grab a sword. Hit someone. What was he doing? They were just reacting. Knee-jerk reaction. That's what our temptations are. Fear overruling solidarity. They just ran. They panicked and they ran. These are our temptations, to give up, to jump ship, to let people down. And folks, we all fail. Newsflash, we all fail sometimes, don't we? I'm not the only one, am I? We all fail. And Jesus knows. And he loves us anyway. He is there for us, even when we fail. It's not a surprise to him. He says, oh my, I'm so shocked. That's not Jesus. We're shocked, but he's not. Now listen, very quickly, I face the preacher's itch here. What is the preacher's itch? Well, it's A, to dazzle you with learning. I say, now the Greek for this is blah, blah, blah. You don't need to know the Greek for this, that, and the other. Or to send you on a guilt trip. Oh, those terrible disciples. Oh, those terrible us. Aren't we awful? Ooh, let's beat ourselves up a bit, shall we? And go away. Say, ooh, that was a good sermon. We really feel bad now. Or say, the third one is, let me give you 3 helpful hints as to how to grow more faithful. Here's some stuff you can do. No. I want to resist the preacher's itch. And just say, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, watch and pray. Watch. That's what we need to do. We need to watch Jesus in action. I love the fact that the Bible is mainly story. Because stories grab our hearts. Intellect and logic and reason, they have their place, but stories grab our hearts. We need to watch Jesus. Fill our mind with the beauty and the loveliness of Jesus and see him. And let that grab our attention. And we need to watch our own hearts too. Just be aware. Realize our own vulnerabilities. Know our own weaknesses. Know our own downtimes. Do you know your own downtimes? Winter's a downtime for Iona. She says, I'm not great in the winter. When the sun starts shining, I start picking up again. So I don't demand too much of myself during the winter. You just learn that. You know? Learn your own downtimes, your own vulnerable times. And don't be stupid. If you're feeling tempted, enlist help. Ask someone. Don't say, no, I can handle this on my own. I daren't let shame stop me. Share it with someone you trust. Watch and pray. And pray, listening to the Spirit saying, I'm with you, I'm in you, I'm for you, I won't override you. I want to help you. So ask, Holy Spirit, help me in this situation. Help me to know whether it's one of those stick in it, stick in there, or whether it's one of those stop banging your head against the brick wall situations. Help me know what the faithful thing to do here is. And help me, because I struggle. Because I'm weak. The spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. So help me, Jesus. And Heavenly Father, I just pray for myself and I pray for this lovely church and my brothers and sisters here. I pray that each of us, as we live through life this week, whatever we face, we may face it, trusting in your faithfulness and making room for that beautiful character, that fruit, that flavor of the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of Jesus, to grow in us. Help us to be faithful people, reliable people, people who stick with you through thick and thin as you stick with us. Pray for anyone who's really struggling this morning, really in turmoil inside and putting on a good show because they're in church. I just pray that you will touch that person's heart, especially in saying, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. I understand your everything you're facing, and I'm here for you, with you, in you. Trust me. Help that struggling brother or sister, or maybe more than one, to hear your lovely voice this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.